It's the My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Hey, oh, fresh back from Las Vegas, Nevada. Here we are, My Michelle Live, with so much to report on, including an interesting experience I had down there that is applicable to all of us. All of us are in this together. And what are we in? Well, this is why you should be watching today, listening, or reading through My Michelle Live. There are so many things that are happening in the world around us that you are no longer allowed to hear about. I promise you this, that everything that we talk about, we research and we double research, and we don't go off what anyone could say is hearsay. Yeah, there may be even more that we could be reporting, but we want to go with the kind of sources that no one can refute and say, oh, you're just a Fox News hag, you know. We want to go for information that shows you there are things going on out there, what you can do to protect yourself, what you can do to be in the know, and even more importantly, what you can do to look a little bit deeper. This is why we encourage you to listen to My Michelle Live's podcast, whether it's today. We're going to be looking at a week in review and reviewing the week. We can talk science and technology, health, sports, whatever it is, but we want to get to something deeper. And it's a message of hope. It's a message of life. It's showing that while everything seems to be in chaos, guess what? This is something that the Bible has predicted. It's something that is consistent with a biblical worldview. And if that is the case, what if that's true? What if there really is a God out there and we can get to the God story? And boom, beyond the crazy headlines and the nutty stuff coming out of the White House and the press room, there's a message of hope and there's life. That's what it's all about. And today, it is all about looking at a week in review.
A week in review.
Yes, and we do it with our friend and co-host in this, Adam Rizzieri. Adam is the man behind Agency Partners Interactive. They do astounding marketing, and he is the man who is up on a lot of things going on in the world around us. And so together we give you what we call the Riz
Report.
Let's
review the week. The Riz Report with Adam Rizzieri.
Boom! Adam, happy weekend to you. We made it to the weekend. I made it past my crazy experiences in Las Vegas, Nevada. And, you know, FYI, why was Michelle in Nevada? Well, I was going to see my team hopefully win, which they didn't, the Seattle Sounders. And if you missed that report, you can rewatch our sports timeout. But here I am back, and yet the world is still as crazy as it was when I left.
Well, I gotta say, Michelle, I mean, for you coming back from Vegas, I mean, you look amazing. I know that, like, and maybe there's a God story there, like that is, or just an act of God, you know, to just come back from Vegas looking so lively and sharp. I know when I come back from Vegas, when my wife was in Vegas literally before the shutdowns, you know, like, we need like a couple days of silence and rest and like hydration.
I know. And you know, it can be true. Just the walking alone. I am not a big drinker. I don't get drunk, you know, a couple of drinks and maybe a little light and happy, but I'm just not there to party. I was at a walking through the casino, and I heard this guy at the roulette table going, I don't know how much I'm betting. I'm so stoned out of my mind. I don't even remember how I got here. I'm like, how are you having fun if you can't even remember what you're doing, how you got there, or where your money went? I don't know.
I feel like Vegas is kind of a rough place for people that are like mildly optimistic, you know, because even just like traveling on foot, you know, you look across the road and you're like, oh yeah, no problem, it's just across the street, and then like 20 minutes later you're still trying to walk across the street. You cover so much just like land, you know, it's just everything is huge there. And so just relatively speaking, it looks like next door is just like what next door should be, but really it's like so much walking just to get from next door. You know, but then also too, all the oxygen they pump into the venues there, you know, I think it makes the brain a little bit sharper than it typically is. So you kind of exert yourself in a special way. I just know it's just like from one casino to the next, there's like this different style of casino perfume that they pump into the air. And some places are a little more classy than others, you know? And I got to say, like one time I took a flight from Vegas to San Francisco for work. And when I got to the airport in San Francisco, I could still smell Vegas on me. And so when I went back to the airport, to the hotel, sorry, I showered, and I like coming out of my hair was just like this smell of like casino perfume. And it was like this kind of like sour floral smell. It was just like, was it a good thing for work? You know, I just had to get that off the,
you know,
off the body
and
there.
So. It is something that they do. Everything that they do in the casino is in order to try to get you money. The colors, the sounds, the atmosphere, the smell, the pumped in oxygen to keep you going when you would normally say, I think it's time for bed.
The no clocks, you know?
Yeah, no clocks, nothing. You are absolutely right. It is just it's one of those things.
I guess in your case though, Michelle, almost like no freedom in some respect. Like this, so guys, like Michelle shared the story with me that she's gonna share with us. And like, okay, just coming from my experience, my wife took me to this amazing venue over the weekend, saw the Dan Band perform. It was at a venue in North Texas called Lava Cantina. We weren't wearing masks. You know, we were having a great time. And actually, she got us a VIP section, but there were still about 20 people in our section and, you know, probably a few hundred people in general at the venue. No mask police going around saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. It actually felt like 2019 when we were there. And it was an amazing experience. But Michelle, I know you saw sort of a musical sort of thing going down in front of you, and I think there were some masks involved, if I'm not mistaken.
So true story, this happened just 2 days ago, Wednesday night. As we're in Vegas, now keep in mind, masks are mandatory inside in the city of Las Vegas. And I want to give you some balance here because you could call me an anti-masker. I'm like, what is the purpose? You know, we don't wear them right anyway, unless you're wearing an N95, it's not all that effective. There is a study that came out of India that I know none of the particulars on that said that those who wear masks have 11% less likelihood of catching COVID. And that's the best numbers that they could come up with, 11%. Now, I don't know, has the village already suffered? Have they been vaccinated? I don't know any of that. I just read a little bit about that, 11%. All right, so for 11%, we are pulling out the mask police. And if that helps, if that gives you some sense of security, I get it. But let me show you this picture. So we're at a piano bar at Harrah's. So if you go in right across from the Link, this is Harrah's. It's a dueling kind of a piano bar.
I love those.
And yeah, it's kind of fun. And so my friend is sitting there. You can see that he has his mask down and he's holding a drink in his hand because he's sipping his drink. Now, most places, if you're drinking or eating, even on an airplane, you don't need a mask. They want to be a little more conservative. Okay. So in between sips, you have to have your mask on. So it has to be, which is not
fun. That
seems
really exhausting.
At all. Nonetheless, you can see our friend next to him has his mask on. Right? Everyone kind of does in between sips for the most part, but they're lurking over people, making sure their masks are on. My friend there says, okay, I see, but let me just ask you this. Why is it that your piano chicks and some of your employees and people around, employees, their masks are down here. Piano chicks don't even have masks on. So I'm going to show you the video. Oh, that's us in the limo getting there. Sorry about that. Which was fun. I'm not going to lie. Here it is. So you're seeing us take pictures. He said, well, wait, look over there. They don't have masks on. And there's the piano girl standing up, singing, shouting out to the crowd. At that point, he shines the light into my camera. You can't see this anymore. Whoa. And then they ask us to leave because he said, well, wait a minute. Look at her. And I show her. She's not She doesn't have a mask on. Light in the camera. You can't film this. You can't film this. That's disturbing. You think they would want to say, yeah, film this. This is what we're doing for the health and safety of people. Uh-oh, we're caught.
The piano lady's face is basically full nude, like no mask.
No mask, both of them.
And
not
then
only
you have
that.
The bikini on some of the servers. Like halfway, you know, it's like this is ridiculous. This is just totally ridiculous. Why can they just do that, but you can't even, like?
Well, he just asked
just
the
so
question.
Impractical.
He just asked that question. Why is that? He just, you know, that's all. Just I'd like to know why. What's going on here?
Well, what do they say when you're asked that question?
You have to leave. That's what they said. Huh. You must leave this establishment.
Like, gotta go. Like, yeah. Was it like even like a, was there any question there? I was just like, you have
nope.
to leave? I mean,
no,
nope,
you
that?
Just have to leave. You just have to leave. All of us.
That's,
boom.
That's a hospitality establishment. Like, they're there to give you a good time. Isn't that what you pay for?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Apparently my video didn't show. So let me show this again. I'm so sorry, because this isn't the biggest deal of the entire night, but my video didn't show because I'm a video noob and my producer isn't here to press the buttons. But there's my friend just having a nice conversation with the guy and saying, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm actually literally drinking. Why are you standing over us? And while you're at it, here's the video. You and I could see it. Our friends couldn't see it. So there he is pointing out how, yeah, she doesn't have a mask on. She's standing up, smiling, singing, screaming out. And then they point the light in my face and say, you've got to stop filming. You got to get out of here. So this is where we're at. And I think it speaks a bit to where we're at in America, Adam. Some of the problems that we're having with freedom of information, with disclosure of things going on in the world, of even coming from our own White House. And I want to give some examples of that as we talk about some of the big news stories that are going on.
Well, I just want to, just as we dig into that specifically, Michelle, your experience, and we were talking about this before we kicked this show off, the fact that like your experience was also followed up with this goon squad coming around you guys to escort you out of the facility. Yes. You had like these
building, and they wouldn't let us go into the link, or you know, they physically said, no, you can't go into any of our casinos. And it's like, okay,
this makes me think about like the situation of like that church leader in, I think, part of Canada, right? Just north of the border, who had like the police basically went to his facility, to his location to shut down a service, to stop people from worshiping. And so it's like you have like these like either like the goon squad, like these super big dudes that you're never going to beat at arm wrestling, or you have like these people wearing badges that come in to enforce, I think, a little bit of tyranny here. I mean, that's just so beyond, I think, what we should be experiencing.
Okay, you know, from sports, we can ask Joshua McMillan this, because back in the day before he, you know, does what he does now, he also owned a security company, and he would provide security, much like these chubby goons, and he would have to use diplomacy and oftentimes humor, because sometimes you're dealing with drunk people. Now, our group wasn't a bunch of drunks, but going up to someone
Michelle
and saying,
again, guys.
I mean, what would have hurt to say, sir, I understand. We're complying the best that we can. We're a piano bar, and as a piano bar, we have lenience with our performer, but because of that, we have to do this mask up. That could be the case. We don't know, but you explain it and say, I'm sorry. On an airplane, I've heard both ways. This is the law. You will comply, or we will throw you off and we'll fine you. Versus, look, guys, I know it's inconvenient. It's not fun, but these are the rules. We didn't make them. It's a federal rule. Will you please comply? Because if you don't, we get in trouble and then our jobs are in danger. It delays the flight. If you'll please get it on. And if you don't like your mask, you know, let's continue to fight it somewhere else, but not here. You know, people are usually reasonable and say, okay, you get it. But when you're lurched over, it is a problem, Adam. And that's where we are not allowed to ask questions. That's what we're really getting at today, my friends, right, is that you're not allowed to ask questions. You're not allowed to hear the whys. You're not allowed to film. You're not allowed to get out information or to hear the right kind of or the wrong kind of information. It's just no longer free.
And we're not stupid either. We know what a double standard looks like. We know what hypocrisy is. And when you see, you know, this list of rules that are in front of you, but then you see that the people who are writing the rules aren't following them. It's just like, you're like, well, why the heck are they even there? You know, it's like you can travel and you have to put on a mask to travel, but we have people coming across the border that are able to get in airplanes and get on buses and be distributed to major U.S. cities with no questions of COVID, you know, whether they have it or not, whether they've been vaccinated or not, and whether or not they have a mask. There's no questions to that effect. But, you know, if we're an American citizen, we have to follow by the rules. But if we decide to, you know, break the law to come here illegally, we don't.
Indeed,
the double standards are ridiculous. And then also, too, just in your experience with the piano person, right? Like performers versus non-performers, the elites versus like those who are there to be entertained, you know, like in Hollywood, if you are on a stage or in front of the camera, you can pretty much do whatever you want. And it looks like the same for our politicians too. You have AOC going to the Met Gala, you know, with this like a $30,000 cost of admission, wearing probably a very expensive dress that says tax the rich, and there's no mask on her face. There's just so many double standards here that we're being forced to sort of like swallow. And man, like, it's just really frustrating. It's a pill that's too big to swallow.
I'm sorry to take you to task as you're watching, but stop putting up with it. Why is it okay to, you have a tax the rich, and yet here she is, the elite, spending more money than most Americans make in an entire year on a ticket to this gala and not having to wear a mask? There you go.
This is the only mask that I will wear when I'm forced to wear it is this like no Fauci mask. Literally, I'll hold it up to the camera here so you can see it. It's like a no smoking sign, but it has Fauci's face in place of the cigarette.
Yeah, because it's not about being a Republican. It's not about being a Democrat. It's not about being conservative or liberal. It's not about being black or white. Stop letting them put all of these values on us and labels. We're Americans and we just want to know the truth. We just want to be free so that we can talk about things and so that we can come to better solutions. How do we know that there is an elitist idea? Let me play some of these. Do you remember when in a White House meeting, Psaki had been asked, well, how many people are vaccinated from the White House, you know, and on the White House staff? Let's listen.
If that's the case, why won't you just release the number of breakthrough cases that you've had of vaccinated staffers?
Well, I think first we're in a very different place than we were 6 to 7 months ago as it relates to the virus. And as many medical experts have said, inside and outside of the government, those who are vaccinated are protected from serious illness. Most are asymptomatic if they are individuals who are vaccinated who get the virus. You know, we are in a different place in terms of the impact. Active individuals who may have, as you said, breakthrough cases.
Why not just provide the number? Are you trying to hide something?
No, but why do you need to have that information?
Because in the interest of the public, having a better understanding of how breakthrough cases work here in the White House.
Why do you need that information?
Wow.
Why do you need to know that? I mean, seriously. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're the American press and we're here to answer, to ask these questions, because we should be the voice of the people asking those questions. And because this is a government of, by, and for we the people, and you are accountable to the people. That's why, because Jen, maybe you didn't learn this in school, but you are accountable to the American public. But let's take it into a news story that happened this week, which, if you just don't believe me here, before that, we'll go into the past, just a few weeks, where the suppression of information and watching people who were going against the narrative became a question during another Psaki episode. Now, in full disclosure, for those of you who have a Fox News aversion, yes, this is a Fox News affiliate that's asking the question, but listen to it anyway, because I think it's pretty revealing.
Has the administration been spying on people's Facebook profiles looking for vaccine misinformation?
Well, that was quite a loaded and inaccurate question, which I would refute.
How so?
Well, Peter, first of all, as you know, we're in a regular touch with a range of media outlets. As we are in regular touch with social media platforms.
Bailey?
This is publicly open information, people sharing information online, just as you are all reporting information on your news stations.
Okay, so these 12 people who you have on a list, 12 individuals, do they know that somebody at the Surgeon General's office is going through their profile?
I'm happy to get you the citation of where that comes from. There's no secret list. I will tell you that these are people who are sharing information on public platforms on Facebook, information that is traveling, is inaccurate. Our biggest concern here, and I frankly think it should be your biggest concern, is the number of people who are dying around the country because they're getting misinformation that is leading them to not take a vaccine.
Okay, let me just break that baby down right there. Your greatest concern should be the people dying. Yeah, it is. That's why we're asking the questions. That's why someone's asking that question, because we look at Israel, we'll talk about in just a moment, with 80%, actually, it's a lot more that are vaccinated, but we're going with the conservative number. And they have had a record this week of deaths and hospitalizations from these breakthrough questions. That's why you ask these questions. What's going on? How can we stop it, make vaccines better? I think vaccines are a great idea. However, if there is no accountability, it's not. The greatest concern, what about the other concern that she said? Well, just like, you know, it's people on public forum reporting just like you do with the news. Wait a minute. Isn't that the whole thing that people have been saying, is that yes, it is. And so as such, it should have that freedom of information. It should have, but Facebook itself has said, oh no, no. And other of these social media sites and the White House have said, on the other hand, no, well, they're not really a news source. They're just a private company. And so there's a lot of things that you could break down in there. But that's not today's news story, is it? That's just yesterday's news of how the government is watching people and they're monitoring people who aren't giving great information. You know, they're costing people's lives. People like this doctor, who I'll play a news story from, that is talking about a news story that I feel very free to report on now, because now it's breaking through. I don't mind reporting on it, but I'm telling you to say it in mass. I really do, Adam, like to make sure that we have sources that no one can refute and say, oh, without it's question. Just that. It's just that some conspiracy. It is immune enhancement, and it is being talked about everywhere. Listen to what this doctor says about immune enhancement. This, I want to give you the background, and let me see if I can find it. This is Dr. Peter J. Hotez, and I maybe
Hotez.
Let's say it like that. He's the dean of National School of Tropical Medicine, professor of pediatrics and molecular virology and microbiology at Baylor College of Medicine.
If that's a last name derived back from Mexico, just based on, and this is just an assumption based on Baylor, Texas, being close to where I'm at, maybe it's Hotez, I think is probably
I'm assuming.
Hotez.
This is what he had to say.
One of the things that we're not hearing a lot about is the unique potential safety problem of coronavirus vaccines. This was first found in the early 1960s with respiratory syncytial virus vaccines, and it was done here in Washington with the NIH and Children's National Medical Center, that some of those kids who got the vaccine actually did worse. And I believe there were two deaths in the consequence of that study, because what happens with certain types of respiratory virus vaccines, you get immunized, and then when you get actually exposed to the virus, you get this kind of paradoxical immune enhancement phenomenon. And we don't entirely understand the basis of it, but we recognize that it's a real problem for certain respiratory virus vaccines. That killed the RSV program for decades. Now the Gates Foundation is taking it up again. But when developing coronavirus vaccines, and our colleagues, we noticed in laboratory animals that they started to show some of the same immune pathology that resembled what had happened 50 years earlier. So we said, oh my God, this is going to be problematic.
Okay, so it's going to be problematic. The immune enhancement is basically saying, look, with a vaccine, unlike being exposed naturally with this vaccine, a vaccine is really targeting one strain. It doesn't have the ability, with like your immune system does, to recognize similar things and lessen the effect. So what can happen, and what they saw happen in animal testing, by the way, animal testing was halted with these vaccines because too many animals died. What they saw was this immune enhancement. So when you're exposed to another natural strain of the virus, you have a hyper reaction, and that's where you're seeing extreme cases. If we're not talking about this, if we have Psaki and the folks out there at the White House monitoring doctors like this who are saying, you know, this is what we found, and taking them down and encouraging social media to stifle their voice, we're not protecting good people who wanted to get the vaccine to protect themselves and their family. Now we know it doesn't protect others. That it did, and you're evil and you're hateful and selfish if you don't get the vaccine. It doesn't protect others. It can protect you. So that's the new narrative. Okay. And you know what? I'm not going to contest that in some instance that it can protect you to a degree of getting a worse case of corona if you're exposed to the right virus. But if you get exposed to something else, you could have a worse outbreak. And now we're seeing in Israel where there are three shots getting administered and you're seeing people die. We're going to hear from Anthony Fauci in a few moments, but I want to bring this back to a current news story as we're talking about the suppression of information that hurts all of us, regardless of your ideology. Just this last week, just 2 days ago, actually, the White House had a meeting between the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, and the president. Okay. 2 days ago, White House reporters filed a formal complaint. This wasn't Fox News. This was all of the press filing a formal complaint against the Biden administration for refusing to answer questions. They're in a meet two leaders of the free world, and there's so much going on, from Afghanistan to COVID to pandemic issues, trade and other issues, and yet no questions were allowed, Adam. I'll even play a soundbite in just a moment, but I want to get your reaction.
Well, isn't that just so indicative of like the time that we live in now? You know, it's like, first of all, to have an event where you have the leader of the United Kingdom next to our leader here in the United States, that's a really big deal because they are such a historically strong ally of ours. And it's been really, really sad to see our relationship with them sort of degrade a little bit since, well, certainly the debacle in Kabul. But you know, whether it's Peter Ducey at Fox, and he's been doing a fantastic job, I have to say, in the White House with his coverage,
He's the only one. He's one of the few asking the hard questions. I mean, we played another CNBC reporter, so I'm not going to throw all of the media under the bus. But just like a lot of left-leaning, you would think, news outlets were not afraid to ask hard questions of the Trump administration. Well, good, that's Michelle, what you do. But
how many times did you see Trump being thrown, you know, dozens of questions, whether he was in front of Marine One about to jump in the helicopter for transport or actually in the briefing or, you know, in the press room.
Hold those guys accountable. Ask those hard questions.
Exactly right. I mean, he would take angry questions. He would take accusatory questions and he would answer questions from, I would say, news outlets that are not exactly pro Trump outlets. I mean,
and sometimes he didn't answer so well.
Well, sometimes not so
and
well,
we'd
right?
hear
sometimes,
those gaffes.
Sometimes the TikTok kind of happened, but he was exposed to that, right? And why Biden though? Michelle, he comes back and says, "Oh well, I better not answer that one, or I'm not supposed to answer that one, or I'm not okay." Who are your handlers? You're the president of the United States. Like, who are you afraid of? There's speculation.
Yeah, you know
that,
who you should be afraid
Biden
of?
23
the people. This is a government of, by, and for we the people. Joe, you work for us. If you work for me and you tell me I'm not answering questions, you're not working for me anymore. But let's not give just an American girl's point of view. Let's hear what a British reporter had to say.
What a bizarre spectacle to see two important world leaders muzzled behind the thickest face masks that have possibly ever been made. So much so, it was actually quite difficult to hear anything anyone was saying. I mean, that was the first thing that was utterly bizarre. And I think Boris Johnson, and of course, you know, our culture, as yours has always been, is that leaders are accountable to the press from all sides and all opinions who can ask questions. And I think Boris was completely stunned that the new culture in America, who are supposed to be the leaders of the free world, is that the president doesn't take questions. So Boris decided to sort of, in an impromptu way, to try and take a few questions, and the White House press team didn't like it and protested. And so we're sort of asking ourselves a question here in the UK this morning. If Joe Biden doesn't take questions from journalists and therefore isn't accountable for what he's doing as leader of America and leader of the free world, we have to ask ourselves a question. Is he actually fit and proper and competent to be doing the job?
You know what? It's kind
that
of like when
Nigel Farage, but man, he like that. That is such a great question. When the press is a check on the power of the presidency, and here you've sort of like literally like sidelined that check on power. Man, that's a huge problem. Who the heck is he accountable to if the press is supposed to be asking questions for us as the people? You know, digging into issues to let us be aware of it. You know, so that we don't have to trust whatever comes out of Jen Psaki's mouth as like the as a definition or as a fact, right? Like, man, we need the press to be there asking hard questions. But that's, Michelle, that's the thing though. This difference as a leader, are you a figurehead or are you actually a leader? If you're a figurehead, then you're just kind of like the person behind the ink on the signing pin, right? You do what you're told.
I'm gonna say it may be
a leader who's
it
there
seems
to
me worse than figurehead or leader. It seems like more of I think dictator may sound strong, but a dictator isn't accountable to anyone but themselves. And we don't want to be there. This is freaking embarrassing, Adam. You know, it's one thing when it's kind of internal and okay, you know, you have Joe up there talking about something that doesn't make sense, babbling about that. It's kind of like, it's embarrassing. Just like, you know, you can love Trump all you want. If you do, okay, but there's sometimes that the press would play pieces of his speech and you'd be like, that just doesn't come out. Dude, you have to play it so the rest of the world can see, but it's like, that's the problem. It's like having, you know, that embarrassing cousin is fine
for sure.
At Thanksgiving dinner, but you know, if you're out and about in public, you're going, oh no, cousin Joe.
don't do it. But it's like, so with him though, if he's a figurehead, that means he's like representing an oligarchy of other powerful people that are all kind of telling him to do what they want him to do. Like, they put him in power. Like, it's amazing, first of all, that he was even the leader of the primary. Like, that's incredible. We put this guy who's been in politics for 47 years. I kind of feel like it's like old school Soviet system, right? Like you have this like this ruling class of oligarchs who tell you what they want you to do on their behalf, and then you're just like the guy who does it, not really accountable to anything. You're just in that position. You can't answer the hard questions because you don't really know, you know. Whereas if you are the leader and you are taking accountability and you are being the president, like frankly, like President Trump was, then you can answer hard questions because you are the person behind the decision-making process with your advisors. You're not just sitting there doing what, you know, the corporatist elite want you to do, or doing what VP Harris and people like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff think you should do on behalf of their constituents, when it's really not on behalf of their constituents. It's on behalf of the elites who fund their operations, the elites behind the scenes that you don't really hear about in the news, but they're the ones that are actually wielding the power. It's really scary.
It is really scary, and there is no accountability. Another example of that is when Biden had said, look, if you get vaccinated, you will not have to wear a mask, right? Now, I don't have a problem.
11 months ago.
Yeah, if a president says that and then says, look, based on new information, we're just here to protect people, we're going to put those masks back on. But that's not what he said. He said, I never said that. Listen to this.
Dr. Parks, and if you want, as you get settled, just push that little red button at the bottom.
That's not the right one. I don't think that's the right one. All right. Well, I'll have to find that. Nonetheless, he said, I didn't say that. And then there's a soundbite of him saying exactly that. So,
Michelle, I think it was in like the second town hall during the election that he said it, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he very clearly said that. Oh, well, yeah, if you're vaccinated, I don't think we're going to mandate the masks. I don't think that'll be necessary. VP Harris said the same thing. And now here we are, defying science, not even listening to science. It's just, it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I think we have.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, we know that double vaccinated, fully vaccinated people are much more likely to get and also carry the coronavirus.
That was even shut down by the press. So, and that came out of Australia. So I guess what we're really saying, and I don't want to linger on the vaccine and as much as I want to linger on the suppression of ideas, experts, speech, the inaccountability, because wherever you are on your journey of finding out information on the efficacy and safety of vaccines, where we're at with the pandemic, you have to research that yourself. I'm giving you information, mostly information you're not necessarily allowed to hear. And that's difficult. I want you to know how difficult that is. You know, there have been times where I've been in near tears because I have an expert on. And you know that I almost exclusively have A-list interviews, not just someone that's local. And we can have those too. I think they're just as interesting. But
you know, it's amazing people come on the show.
We have a lot of A-list people who have documentation, and if they don't, dude, I'm happy holding them accountable and asking those hard questions. I know as my listeners and viewers that ticks you off sometime. You know, you're too hard on him. Why are you asking these questions? Because that's my job. That's what I do.
Journalism.
It's called journalism. Adam, I've had to have an entire account wiped out and start from scratch. That costs a lot of time and money and inconvenience. It's not easy. I've had friends who have said, you know what, you need to stop talking about this kind of stuff. It's not what they like, and so it's controversial, and so you need to just kind of comply. And if you do, you know, it'll be easier. You won't have to worry about being canceled. But I'm compelled to do my job as a journalist. I'm compelled.
Well, it's almost your duty as an American to do that, you know, to make sure that our future generations are able to live freely and to express their minds and to think a little bit differently. and to ask critical questions that do truly lead to better outcomes. I mean, that's why our society is so fantastic, right? Because we are allowed to think critically. We're allowed to use our minds. And Michelle, you know, I'm very blessed to do business internationally. I have a very international team. And I will tell you, there is no country like America. There is no group of people like Americans. And that's in a way, it's kind of dumb luck, you know, but it's truly by design. Our founding fathers really, really did something special here. And it's very unlike the rest of the world. So, you know, when it comes to being canceled, yeah, it's really freaking frustrating, right? To be cut from Facebook, to be canceled by Twitter and YouTube and Vimeo. I mean, you know, you're asking yourself, okay, well, where do I turn? You know, like, where do I turn to find a safe place to host my information, whether it's videos or blogs? You know, how do I continue to do what I do and to not allow myself to be a victim of, well, one, self-censorship, but then also the collusion of a political movement that wants to do away with everything that's fantastic about our free society. And so, you know, there are alternative choices out there to the mainstream social media, right? But that's a hard thing too, because, you know, a lot of people that are trying to find information or trying to find answers don't know about these competing marketplaces for ideas. They don't know where to turn. And you know, that's because Facebook spends so much time and money and uses so much data to engage the attention of over 3 billion people in the world. It's really overwhelming. It's a huge beast to come to terms with. And so as proud Americans, you know, we have to kind of just keep on fighting and keep on doing what we're doing and asking questions that matter. But then also leaning on our legislators and also like looking to local politics, you know, like keeping it close to home. I mean, that's where we can really affect major change. I mean, think about this, the fact that when my wife took me to an amazing live concert over the weekend to go see the Dan Band perform, my experience versus what Michelle experienced in Vegas, very, very different. And part of that is a function of course, federal politics, but also just the politics on the ground, local politics. If you can
okay.
be involved at that
politics
level,
on the ground, politics on the ground, when you think about it, what does that mean? How things are played out. If we have a federal government, it's like a leadership determines attitude. So if you have a federal government that is kind of a bully, and they are kind of a bully. I'm not disputing that I want to hear information on efficacies of vaccinations, of masks. I want to hear that. But I also want to hear how they may not be working so that we don't give people false sense of protection. Sure. And thus, they're not taking care of what they should be taking care of, their immune system. There are people who outright don't know that there is such a thing as an immune system and developing natural response. What the living heck? Because right. we're not talking about it. So what I'm asking you is just logically for just a moment to say, look, if you have adverse ideas challenging your truths, your truth should not be afraid of that. It gives you the opportunity, like in debate class, did anyone ever take debate, for crying out loud, where you have to sharpen your ideas, you have to understand where the other side is coming from. That yes. makes your argument stronger. It makes your truth more secure, more solid. But we're not talking about it. It wasn't a good thing to talk about voter suppression or some of the wonky things that some people thought happened during the election. Now in the Newsom election, I wanted to get to this news story. They're seeing that people are going in and saying that they voted or going in to vote. And they say, you already did. Now, let me see if this is the right a soundbite. Again, girlfriend just got back from Las Vegas. And so, you know, yeah.
Crushing it, though. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't have known.
Let's see if this is the right one. Yeah, that's the right one. So I'm going to turn it up so you can hear it and take a listen. Boom. Wait. And take a listen. Wow. And that was not the only person there. That was just to get a little background. I want to make sure that you know this wasn't just somebody off the street. It was KTLA in Los Angeles reporting on this because so many people had said, wait a minute, I showed up to vote. And they said they had to do a provisional ballot because they said you have already voted. The other weird thing that they didn't report that I'm looking into to confirm, I've confirmed from a couple of areas, but, you know, in full disclosure, the majority of these people were registered Republicans.
It always sort of blows my mind, Michelle, when I see like media headlines that say, you know, like no proof or no indication of voter fraud. But then like I see a video being shared of these women in a mailroom in a small part of the valley that I used to live. So I used to live in Studio City, and Valley Village is where I would get pizza sometimes. And it was just like a short walk north of where I lived. And there's a video of these people in a mailroom stuffing their bags with ballots. That they were opening ballots and seeing like which vote it was for, and they were literally just like stuffing the votes of the recall election, and these were like obviously elder votes into their bags so that they wouldn't be processed. Well, I mean, no indication or proof of voter fraud. I just saw it on the video.
Again,
you know
what? Let's go back for just a moment to the experience I had in Vegas. How hard is it to say, look, you know, this is why we're doing this. This is what's going on, you know, and I know it's inconvenient. Thank you for complying. No, you may not ask that question. You have to go with the White House. Why do you need to know the answer to that? Or with this situation, there's no indication. Look, what's wrong? Shut up the naysayers and say, yeah, there's been some small, isolated, weird incidences. We've dealt with that, but we're confident that, you know, still, at least, yeah, like, I mean, I missed back in the day when they would just outright lie to us and spin it.
Like literally just like acknowledge it and say, okay, well, we addressed that, but it's below the standard deviation. It's, you know, it's within the margin of error. So no problem. We're not concerned. Or, you know, we identify the source of the fraud, the person's being investigated. Like just acknowledge it. Don't just try to sit here and say it doesn't exist at all because we see it right in front of us. Of course, there are always efforts made though to sort of hide the truth from us. Right. I mean, they want us to live on headlines and frame us with
okay, crazy things. I don't want to be accused of doing that. And because this morning, seriously, you know, I really am fresh in from Vegas. My last video didn't play. And that's because I had the outlet that was playing muted. I want to play this for you so I'm not accused of the very thing that I'm trying to hold them accountable for. So let's take a listen and we'll see if we can hear this time. I'm still thinking it's not playing. I will get it for you to prove my point. And in the meantime, Adam, this is where we're in just a really weird area of human history where we have, I don't know, like being a frog in the pot where the water gets turned up, and we sooner or later you've got to wake up and say, man, it's starting to get steamy in here and things are just not right. You know, it gets to the point where I shouldn't be the only voice, and I'm not, but the only voice of somebody trying to speak out a little bit of truth and say, wait, there's something going on here. So that's where issues like this voter suppression thing is such a big deal. Why are we not hearing about it? And finally, let's play that soundbite.
Question, what is going on? We spoke with several concerned voters here in the West San Fernando Valley who believe something wonky had been going on at places like El Camino Real Charter High School in Woodland Hills. This place
Valley opened Village.
Up as an early polling location, open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily. But several people tell us they showed up to vote this morning in the special California governor recall election, And we're told that computers showed they had already cast their ballots. What happened today and how shocked are you?
Very. I went to El Camino High School to vote. Got there at 10:30, gave her this, and she scanned it and said, "You voted." And I said, "No, I haven't."
Wow. That explains the 2-to-1 ratio of votes for Newsom. You know, it's like somebody in his back office is like, "How many more do we need?" He's like, "No problem. We're going to order those right now."
Yeah, but you know what the thing is you don't know. You don't know if this is some kind of conspiracy, if it's because of an organization or the people in power, or if it's an isolated case. You just don't know. And again, we won't know unless we're talking about it. In the interest of time, I wanted to move on to another couple of big stories. Now, one big story is what's going on at the border. The border is a huge issue. Speaking of people not being required to be vaccinated, but being put on planes and traveling, we have or buses or brought into areas. We have a lot of things going on at the border, and you being there at a border state, I know that you are much more up on it than even I am.
Oh, I mean, it's impossible not to be. And you know, I'm really thankful that, you know, we have Governor Abbott here in Texas, and, you know, love him or hate him, in respect of the border, he's doing some really, really important things. Coming to terms with kind of just what's happening here, Michelle, I mean, on one side of the fence, there are things taking place at the border, and you have the media taking little bits of information and running with it and creating a false narrative about what the actual Customs and Border Patrol are doing. But then on the other side of the fence, you have what's actually taking place. You know, 2020 alone, there are about 458,000 border crossings. Year to date so far, we're already at over 1.5 million people who have crossed the border. More people than the population of Dallas have crossed the border this year. More people than the population of almost every border town that exists in Texas have crossed the border just this year alone. And the year's not even over, right? We still have three months to go here. And, you know, last week, the big story about what was taking place there was the group of 15,000 Haitians that were under the International Bridge in Del Rio. That's a lot of people. Today, here at the end of the week, mostly empty now. You've had about 3,100 people, I think, left there, but about 4,000 are in Border Patrol custody. So far, about 2,000 people have been deported back to Haiti. The interesting thing, though, is that a lot of these people that were here have already been enjoying asylum in different countries. They've been in Chile and in Colombia for the last 10 years since the 2010 hurricane that hit Haiti. And so you have these people now saying, okay, well, Biden's president, I'm going to make my run at it and go to America now. They're literally like showing up with Chilean photo IDs and discarding them at the border. In cases where they think they're going to be deported, they literally run right back to Mexico and just kind of wait it out for a while. Because we're talking about just crossing a shallow stream of water in this case. But the problem is that there are just so many people that have been crossing. The government really hasn't been able to do anything about it. And when I say the government, I mean the federal government. So what Governor Abbott did was he sent basically hundreds of Texas state troopers to the border. And he literally created what he's calling like his wall of steel. The part of the border wall that isn't constructed, he basically rebuilt it using parked state trooper vehicles lined up to create this wall that would basically stop the thousands of migrants crossing per day into Del Rio specifically. So he puts, I think we have now like 700 state troopers patrolling the migrant encampments. But, you know, in a nutshell, what Governor Abbott did was he said, "Hey guys, like we have a leaky pipe here. Like we have a lot of water coming out of this pipe. We got to plug it right now." Joe Biden, Secretary Mayorkas, the border czar, VP Harris, nothing, man, like literally nothing from them. So Governor Abbott was like, okay, well, I'm going to go and plug the leak in the pipe. I'm going to go send my state troopers to the border. They're going to stop this from taking place. Literally in an instant, guys, like a period of several days, from 15,000 people under the bridge now to just a few thousand, from tens of thousands of people crossing daily to now much, much less than that, right? Maybe hundreds at this point in Del Rio specifically. Of course, the hard thing is that, you know, they're going to leave Del Rio. They're going to try and get in 60 miles away from where they are. You know, if you're someone that lives in this town, Michelle, like how hard must that be? There are also Mexican citizens who work in Del Rio daily. They work at U.S. businesses on the border. They cross the international boundary every single day legally for work. And these people are now not able to come to Texas to do their jobs. No. They're not able to come
in. And let me answer a couple of questions. Let me answer a couple of questions that people have out there. The border issue, number one, is such a big deal because you are not protecting these people that you claim to care about. When women and children are exploited sexually, when they're sold into sexual slavery, we're responsible for that because we don't give a flying rip. We're just trying to be compassionate. They just want to get into the country. Second question, this idea that, well, it's poverty and we have to deal with poverty. Yeah, I think that has something to do with why people want to come to one of the most prosperous countries in the world. However, as one of our senators pointed out, you know what? Poverty was real 2 years ago when things were going down. Poverty has been real, and still we haven't had this onpouring. The third thing is, if you feel that it is important for us to open our borders rather than encourage other nations to become better, freer, and have some of the liberty and prosperity that we have here, so they're good there, instead of just helping the few who risk their lives to come over, then you're missing out on a big point, that if we do not help them by getting in legally, they may be doomed to being victims of the cartel who helped them get across. Plus, you know what? We're also fueling the drug industry. So there's so many questions and no answers and dangers that have arisen. We need to address these.
Well, very simply, social media is also a big part of what's fueling a lot of the communication that runs these organizations. You have Facebook as a method and WhatsApp as a tool to allow traffickers to communicate and to literally to barter and trade the lives of humanity, right? People are being basically peddled through social media as a business tool, business being like the organized crime side of things. You know, when I think about America as a country, you know, we are an incredibly, incredibly generous nation. We give so much to the rest of the world. But just like any family, right? Any family has a finite amount of resources, and there's only so much that you can do for charity, right? There's only so much you can give. And if you look at the United States as a family, right? We're all Americans. We're all family in a certain respect. There's only so much that we can do. There's only so much that we can give before we literally have nothing. And here we are now, you know, in terrible debt as a country, talking about raising the debt ceiling just to pay off, you know, obligations that we already owe money to. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. We can't just be like this infinite fountain of giving. We would like to be as generous as we can be. But, you know, when you think about people that really need our resources, you know, these Haitians have been living in pretty good towns or in pretty decent lives, right? Better than what they came from in Haiti for 10 years. They made a choice to leave their home to come here. And it wasn't because they had, you know, somebody holding a gun to their heads. The way we live in America is special and it's unique. And it's because we've worked really hard over a couple hundred years to build this society that we call the United States of America. Not every country, not every quality of life will be like what it is here, which of course is why people want to come here. But when you have people that are essentially skipping the line to come to our country, to live the way we live, we're really spitting in the faces of all of those people who wish to immigrate here legally, who are already, you know, people who have filed paperwork, who have hired attorneys, who have done the right things to come here the right way. We're essentially saying to all of those people that are trying to follow the law and do it the right way, well, you know, it doesn't matter because these people came here, they showed up in Del Rio, and, you know, we're going to give them this notice to appear. And by the way, they don't have to appear until next year. And by the way, we don't really care what their vaccination status is either. But they can.
So why don't we do that? If we encourage that kind of scofflaw, that kind of behavior, why do we have to have security guards over, you know, just somebody in between sips? It's inconsistency. And this is where I want to get back to in our final minutes together. The issue at hand today, as we review the week, to me, the big story is inconsistency. Your worldview matters. If your worldview breaks down, where here it's my body, my choice, but here it's your body, my choice, your worldview is not consistent. That can happen on both sides. Check your worldview. Check your worldview. We have back with the press, Psaki made some comments. And the media coverage concerning the border is something else that you wanted to bring up. I thought it would kind of lead us back home.
Michelle, it's just like so typical here. So there is a story that's been really big this week about the, and I call it the ridiculous whipping the migrant story, that the White House is promoting. There was a video from Del Rio that some of you may have already seen that showed these asylum seeking migrants shielding their heads as CBP agents on horseback were trying to sort of like push them back across the water. And so these images, like these combination of, you know, a few seconds of video and still imagery makes it look like, you know, a Border Patrol guy is using a leather string to whip a person. The thing is like, they're not doing that at all. The media is using some very poorly understood imagery to drum up this story of, oh, CBP whips people from riding on horseback. We have Biden now saying, oh, what I saw is horrific and horrible, calling the CBP an embarrassment, saying there will be consequences. Secretary Mayorkas was literally there watching the agents on horseback. And now that CNN's asking him questions, he's like, oh, I was horrified by what I saw. You have VP Harris saying, oh, my goodness, the treating human beings that way is just horrible, horrible. The thing is the agents on horseback were, first of all, not whipping anybody. They were trying to use the horses to sort of, you know, obviously cordon the flow of traffic away from the border, but actually back to Mexico in a very lawful way, in a way, in fact, that has been approved by the Biden administration. The CBP union boss is a guy that has been very critical of the White House for a very good reason.
Okay.
And he's explaining kind of what was going on. And he's saying that the administration knows that the device is being used to sort of restrain and to thwart the flow of traffic, not whips. These guys don't even carry whips. They were horse reins that are used to direct the head of a horse so that you can steer a horse. It's an approved method to actually do what's called twirling the reins. And so in the images, you see the hand of an agent on a horse and this leather string kind of extending from the guy's hand. It looks like he's trying to whip a person, but really all he's doing is he's twirling the leather reins to his horse saddle setup as a way to basically stop the people that are coming in, the Haitians, from approaching the horse or from touching the saddle or from, frankly, exposing themselves to bodily harm. You're talking about an animal that weighs more than 900 pounds. And if you get too close to a horse, you're going to get stepped on and you could die. You could get kicked in the face and also die. I mean, it's a really dangerous place to be unless you know how to be around a horse in a safe environment. And frankly, a horse could be spooked too. It could be a sound that sets the horse off. And so when you see
manipulation,
twirling the rein, exactly right. And so when you see the agents twirling their reins, it's a safety tactic that was taught to them by Homeland Security. So
think about this as you're watching. You are being manipulated. I think on one regard, and we'll close with a story of the Gabby story, on one end from a media that is just wants to sell what's sexy, what's popular, what's beautiful. And on the other hand, by people who just want to take pieces of a story so it fits their narrative. Ah, we've got a soundbite. Look, I've been in the media a long time. I'm telling you, seen it. Let's pull this and see, we can get you to think. Well, what you're really not doing is thinking if you just buy into it and are afraid of asking questions. I also want to mention that you are looking at some real bearded men on the screen. If you're watching My Michelle Live, you need to go to My Michelle Live because we have the best discounts on real bearded men products, from the hats and the cool stuff to the stuff to make your beard look all manly, manly, manly. You can also find the canceled hats there at My Michelle Live if you've been canceled. I've been in Vegas, so my apologies. Usually every week we give out a canceled package to a listener. If you have been canceled, send me your story. We'll talk about your story. You know what? Let's send a canceled hat to my friend who got kicked out of that bar in Las Vegas because he was willing to ask those questions. Nickster, I'm sending you a canceled hat. There you go. And you can get a canceled hat too. You can find us at mymichellelive.com. Yeah, the final story that I wanted to get to in the, we are actually kind of out of time, is the Gabby Petito. And there's so much, maybe we can get to this next week, Adam. But yeah, she was important because of the fact that she was an influencer. People watched her and her little van life stuff. It's an interesting story. But yeah, there are actually thousands of missing people that we don't care about. Why do we care about a beautiful, attractive, and as some will say, even white individual? Because it's all about sensationalism. She's pretty. You know, she's a Natalie Holloway of 2021. And we care because of that, because those are the people that matter. If she wasn't as pretty, or if she was a little overweight, or if she just, would we care? Probably not. Think about that. Yeah. That's where your worldview matters.
Well, it's kind of like the migrant story. You know, it's like you see photos and you see 15-second videos that actually capture what took place over the course of maybe 10 minutes or an hour. And you see this picture that doesn't actually exist, right? The migrants crossing the border were not being whipped. Gabby Petito's relationship, from what we've heard, doesn't seem like it was nearly as beautiful as what social media would have you think, right? You never really know what you're seeing. And so I think it is important to kind of ask more questions and dig a little bit deeper.
That's what we're doing here, Adam. We're asking questions and digging a little deeper. We are out of time. So much going on in the news every week. Adam is my co-host and reviewing the week and talking about the things that just aren't research. Why someone dorky like me has to be one of the people that did it shows you just how far gone our society is. But I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to be part of My Michelle Live, and I welcome you to be part as well. Send us the stories. We will research them and we will report them. Send us your thoughts. And if you've been canceled, send us your stories. I'm Michelle Mendoza with Adam. This has been our Week in Review. We'll catch you next time, Adam.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.